Welcome back to House of Bravo, your weekly Bravo recap with a cosmic twist. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader.
And I'm Tasha, an intuitive astrologer, also known as the agent of Pluto. Yeah, what a week. Obviously, like, we had Scandoval, but then this week just felt like another different layer to it. I don't know. Bravo's just coming out with so much content these days. It's so crazy.
I know. Well, we're going into quite an interesting time in the cosmic weather sphere. We are in Cancer season, which represents the family. We are also about to head into a Venus retrograde, which is kind of rethinking our relationships, our values, things like that. And I think Venus just started slowing down, right?
Yeah, Venus slowed down June 19th. I know because I got into my own personal situation in my relationship that day. But, you know, I like to think of these retrograde periods, right? It's not like a doom end all be all, right? Okay, yes, we are seeing potential separation announcements, divorce announcements, things like that. But there's like a lot of astrology going on layered on top of it. So Venus retrogrades do not necessarily mean that you will be breaking up or separating or any of these things. It's, as Emma said, you know, it's a period of reflection and review. You know, how have my relationship needs evolved consistent with my priorities? Are we still prioritizing the same things? It's actually like a really healthy refresh, you know, as individuals, especially because this Venus retrograde is happening in Leo, the sign of the, you know, the literal sun, the self, like so much about how you feel like you can creatively express yourself, how you can feel, you know, alive in your relationship. How do you use the refresh to bring about these new perspectives?
Exactly. And just to like further pound in the point that this does not mean a relationship will end. My grandparents just celebrated their 71st wedding anniversary. So they've lived through many Venus retrogrades.
Yes. And also, if you want to think about what this retrograde might be bringing up for you in terms of like themes or narratives, as always, astrology is really a study of time. And so, you know, if you think back to the last time Venus was retrograde in Leo around like 2015, you know, summer 2015, you can kind of see a little bit of the story. Like, I remember at that time, like, my friendships deepening, people moving in with me, switching jobs, and Leo's in my 10th house. So, you know, for your own charts, you might want to check out what part of your chart contains Leo to see maybe where that narrative might continue, for more clues at least.
On top of Venus retrograde, we also have this impending nodal switch that we've been talking about for a long time. So again, we're switching from the axis of Taurus Scorpio into the axis of Libra and Aries, which again has a lot of themes of the self and the other. So it just like really, it again, as Tasha loves to say, astrology works. It hits. We're seeing it happen in the news right now. We've got Ricky Martin. We've got de Blasio. We, of course, have Kyle and Mauricio. So we're going to like just get into each of these and kind of take a look at what's going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think the first one, and probably the one that I'll have like the least sort of specific astro commentary on, I just thought it was really fascinating. The de Blasio announcement, right? We're separating, we're not divorcing, and we're still going to live together and date other people. Like, what a deviation from sort of a normal social construct of like how a relationship should quote unquote end, right?
Absolutely. And to me, like when I heard this, the first thing I thought was this Pluto retrograde in Capricorn before it goes direct again back into Aquarius. So again, Capricorn representing old institutional structures, which could be marriage. I mean, when we think about de Blasio, he literally was like a person of authority for New York State.
LOL.
Yeah. And kind of like moving, into a more unique, different, maybe more communal, more open way of loving, of being in a relationship, of having a partnership. And I think we're seeing that kind of with a lot of couples, just kind of redefining what love is to you, how you can show up in that way, and maybe where you need more. You know, we say this phrase all the time, you can't get everything from one person. And I think like Pluto and Aquarius really represents that.
I love that take. I love that take so much. And I actually also see this, like, you, I think you've been hearing, I think I even saw like a New York Times article, right? Like about how couples are living under very unconventional arrangements. You know what I mean? So like you have your individual space and it's like very Frida Kahlo, Diego, right? Like we are living in separate houses that are connected and like we can hang when we want to. So there is, I think, a trend towards it. One thing I'll say, you know, about the Venus retrograde and the node switching simultaneously is because the South Node will be in Libra for the next 18 months after July 17th, which is when the node switch, or at least 13th, I forget exactly, but middle of July. Venus, as a planet, how it affects your chart, even your natal Venus, all of that take on a little more prominence in your chart. Just because, again, the South Node Libra is ruled by Venus. And it's so much about old habits being released or old karma being released. And so, you know, again, it's sort of another hit at this point of review, right? Like, how can I eschew old habits? What no longer serves me? And how do I make this relationship work for me? You definitely see the reverberations. I mean, honestly, okay, moving on to Ricky, because like this actually caught me by surprise. I love their marriage, and it's actually kind of wild because Ricky and his partner met, or at least they like connected on Instagram back in 2015. So if you remember what I said earlier, Venus retrogrades bring about a continuing narrative or theme. In this case, Ricky and his partner met like 8 years ago, which is wild. So yeah, just like off the bat, I thought that was so interesting.
That is really interesting. I love that looking back because it did take place during this kind of like Venus retrograde. Like, I feel like it seems very karmic and like they were meant to have that time together to maybe close a door from a past life or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, obviously, like there's all this like general flavor, but when you look at Ricky Martin's chart, which he has a double A rating, which is amazing, God bless. You see some really interesting things also compounding the energy, right? Like you have Pluto in Capricorn that you were just talking about, you know, like revisiting an old institution, maybe, especially maybe, you know, having gotten a sense of more independence over the last few months when Pluto dipped its toe into Aquarius. It's right hovering and activating Ricky's natal Venus in Aquarius at 1 degree. So, you know, this Pluto retrograde was definitely going to be really impactful. And it's also happening in his eighth house of intimacy and shared bonds, you know, in Capricorn, right? Like his eighth house is ruled by Capricorn. It's so much about that institution and commitment. This is a revisiting, a transformation, a literal death, right? We saw the same Pluto-Venus hit for Taylor Swift when she went through her breakup with Joe Alwyn. So, yeah, not saying there's a trend, but it's interesting how they both manifested for both Taylor Swift and Ricky Martin, this Pluto-Venus conjunction.
And actually, if we're using the Placidus house system, since he does have such a solid rating, hit the full moon that took place in Cancer Capricorn on the 3rd would have been in his 1st and 7th house. So again, kind of like a shedding full moon is a release, represents a release. So kind of a release of maybe this phase, this relationship, this partnership for him.
Actually, I think, you know what, it actually like hit the cusp of the 1st and 2nd. So like you get self-worth and you get identity and you get like relationship and you get partnership. Like, this was a really, really impactful full moon for him. No, I love that point too. I mean, this full moon activation has been crazy. This is also like another key significant, I think, activation point. You know, you have transiting Neptune, this Neptune that we've talked about, confusion, delusion, dissolving even. That's currently activating Ricky's natal Mars and moon in Pisces. In his 10th house, you know, the 10th house is so much about public reputation. It's your social calling card. It's how the public perceives you, you know? And Mars, I can think of it as like a very action-oriented moon, your emotions. And then on top of that, you know, you have that 10th house being ruled by Jupiter in his seventh house on his descendant. So much about partnership, husband, Jupiter sometimes does evoke symbolism around the husband. So yeah, just another point for astrology symbolism.
Yeah. Well, actually, I saw something else. So that Pluto that you were speaking to, that's again right on his Venus, is also trining his natal Saturn. So again, kind of just this flow of energy, Saturn representing commitment of partnership, trining Pluto, this kind of like, again, a shedding, a death, a rebirth. It's kind of like creating this positive flow of energy to let go of that bond. And that Saturn is also kind of in loose orb to Uranus, which is currently traveling through Taurus. So again, Uranus, kind of a mix-up, a shocking event, just like altering the course of time.
Yeah. I mean, so Ricky has his Saturn in Gemini, but to your point, Uranus is moving in that 12th house. And the 12th house, you know, we've talked about this on the show too, is so much about detachment, right? And, you know, highlighting that Saturn, as you just did, Saturn rules over that 8th house of intimacy for Ricky. So you can really see this energetic flow into, wait a minute, we're letting go of a commitment, we're letting go of a chapter. Not necessarily saying that, you know, it had to end concretely in divorce, but this was a natural period of release, regardless of how that was showing up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, moving on to sort of the biggest news of the week in Bravo Land, or in pop culture, really, because they're quite a figure, the two of them. Kyle and Mauricio. Oh
yes.
My God.
Well, we started to touch upon this last week, and it's kind of funny because we didn't even realize that the things that we were saying were hitting harder than we could have known.
Oh my God, honestly. Like, kid you not, Emma and I both like saw sort of the face reality like highlight reel right before we jumped on to record. And it was like, oh my God, there's like a lot of digging going on, and a lot of it kind of like making sense, not necessarily commenting on, you know, is Kyle with Morgan, is Kyle done, but there were just a lot of clues that, oh, maybe something's happening in her chart. And like when we pulled her chart up, boy, shit really was hitting. So I mean, we'll recount some of like the high level things that we were touching upon, but you know, we spoke about this full moon just now. This full moon in Kyle's chart was activating her 12th and 6th house axis. The same 12th house that we were just talking about for Ricky Martin is so much around releasing a narrative. And I think I said this in the last recording, because her 12th house, Kyle's 12th house, is ruled by Cancer, releasing a narrative around family, releasing maybe even a shyness around what you want for yourself, being able to communicate your emotions directly. Her moon is in Libra. Sometimes there might be difficulty in properly expressing herself in a real and authentic way, consistent, with like what she actually wants.
Yeah, we also have Saturn, which is currently retrograde in Pisces, going over Kyle's Venus in Pisces and Mauricio's North Node. So again, like a redefining of a commitment for Kyle around love and values, for Mauricio around his purpose, his destiny, what he's growing into.
Yeah, and responsibilities too, right? Like the narrative around responsibility, what role have you played in service? You know, the South Node in Virgo is so much about feeling that need to control, feeling that need to make sure everything is okay, but also ultimately, like, you might literally be in service of someone else a lot. And in this case, maybe, you know, it's the marriage or in the relationship, what have you. But a very interesting point with the Saturn retrograde.
Right, that Saturn is also in her eighth house. So eighth house of merging or maybe separating from another.
Yeah, I would say even, you know, like the Saturn coming through the eighth house, I can even broaden sort of that interpretation to, you know, a reality check hitting your fantasy, right? Around your intimacy. Maybe, you know, I think in long-standing marriages, And anything that involves, you know, a long period of time, especially as it relates to family, you can kind of just exist as the roles prescribed, right? Like we are playing the role of mom, we are playing the role of dad, husband, wife, whatever. And at a certain point, like, do you just become the roles or are you still the individuals playing them? You know what I mean? So with the Saturn coming through, it does feel like this strong cosmic reality check. Hey, around the roles, are things getting sleepy in this capacity? Like, are you sleepwalking through life in your intimacy? Like, what's happening here? And I think it is very interesting that it coincides with, you know, last week you mentioned how Chiron was transiting. Chiron is hitting Kyle's natal Saturn in Aries, you know, her boldness, how she's looking to assert herself. What's also really interesting is we just had this Mercury Chiron square, right? Like just overnight, basically perfecting this week. So you can kind of see the tension, like Mercury in her 12th house again, Mercury in Cancer, family understanding, processing, squaring Chiron, conjunct her Saturn, you know, like her Saturn. I mean, that Mercury was also squaring her Saturn, right? So, like, there's just so much around family announcements, family news impacting her sense of vitality, impacting her confidence. I mean, you can kind of see why they like kind of backtracked a little bit, right? Not to say they were the ones that released the source or they, you know, it just seemed like the news broke and then maybe people like, oh wow, like I don't necessarily know how to handle it. I'm trying to make sure like we're controlling the narrative so that people don't like, you know, run wild with theories and things like that. Cause it's already, you know, a difficult period of time when you're making such a big public change. It's just interesting to see the transits hitting like that. And how the more that I think they want to control, the more it's just gonna not necessarily work out, maybe.
Yeah. Something I also was thinking, you know, you mentioned like long-standing relationships, and when we look at how long they've been together, I think it's like approximately around the time that one would be going through their Saturn return, which is again when you're kind of like re-evaluating, is what you've been working towards all this time what you want to continue to be working towards, or do you need to like shift directions a little bit?
Yeah,
I feel like the
absolutely.
relationship is kind of like heading into that Saturn return. And I think, I mean, again, a lot of this is speculation. And I think, like you just said, they're kind of trying to backtrack what do we really want to be out there. So I think as time goes on, we'll see, you know, how this really shakes out. But currently, they're saying that they want to stay in the house with Portia and all these things. And it's like we might start to see that change as they get further and further into this like relationship Saturn return of theirs, where they're finally able to come to terms with the new vision that they both have.
Yeah, no, that's a really salient point. The length of their marriage kind of equating to a Saturn return cycle. What's really, really interesting, like two comments on that for you. One, I didn't like really look up Morgan's placements or chart or whatever, because I don't really know anything about her and I like frankly don't really care enough.
Great thing.
But I did notice she has Saturn in Pisces at 7 degrees. Okay, hell of a Saturn return going on for her right now. And Saturn in Pisces at 7 degrees, that's a significant degree because that is where Saturn recently stationed retrograde. And when we say, you know, the degrees are important around situations like this because when the planet stations, it's almost like there's more power, there's more impact, there's just a lot more juiciness getting marinated out of that aspect. So she's going through her Saturn return, and that the fact that her Saturn return coincides with the retrograde, Morgan's basically like going to get hit with one more dose of it, like by November, right? Which is when Saturn moves back into, or at least like starts moving direct and stuff. So yeah, we're definitely, it's not the last we'll see of this, obviously, but it is timing wise, I think, going to coincide with, you know, post this Venus retrograde, like post eclipse season, you know, in October. Like, you're definitely going to see maybe a little more of the dust settling towards the end of the year. Now, the other comment I was going to make is with the Saturn return, it's funny because in Kyle's chart, she's going through her progressed lunar return. So, The connection between the two is actually really interesting. Your progressed lunar return, which happens, around like 27, like it's just the precursor to your Saturn return, if you will. It kind of sets the intuitive structural basis so that, your Saturn return can build from ultimately. So in this case, right, you have Kyle with her progressed moon in Libra. Libra, again, the sign of relationships, a progressed lunar return, literally a new chapter coming around a new structure for Kyle. And where is her Saturn? Around how she asserts herself for independence. And also really interesting because Mars in Scorpio for Kyle in her fourth house of family. Again, new relationship, new family, new beginning. And Mars in Scorpio, maybe even a new intimate bond, right? A new way of committing. Very just very interesting stuff hitting Kyle's chart.
So much hitting.
So much hitting. Oh my gosh. I mean, oh my God. I like just even noticed like the Pluto and Cap that we were speaking about earlier. And you can kind of, and this is why I love astrology, right? Because honestly, like the symbolism and the inherent meanings work, and you can kind of apply it to a lot of case studies and obviously different outcomes, but the general emphasis is still the same. Pluto in Capricorn is squaring also that progressed lunar return, that Pluto in Capricorn is squaring her natal Libra moon. Basically, there is a huge re-underwriting and unearthing of what Kyle wants out of her day-to-day responsibility and what makes her happy. The moon is what makes you happy. And that moon is also sitting on her IC, which is again a family house. So how is she looking to retool her family system to bring her a more calibrated and peaceful outcome for herself?
And that Pluto, I mean, if we're looking at whole sign, it's like going back and forth between the sixth and seventh house. So again, what you were saying about like your responsibilities being in the sixth house, like your day-to-day thing, but also how it affects your relationship. So
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, also this Venus retrograde is really hitting both Kyle and Mauricio, having like prominent Leo placements, right? So like Kyle's a Leo rising. This Venus retrograde is happening in her first house. So it is so much around reputation and identity and like who she's looking to be. Literally a Kyle rebrand, if you will. And Mauricio has his Venus in Leo, his relationships, his love, his priorities, Just a really interesting time, the way the charts are hitting. The last thing I'll really say about this Kyle situation too, right, is like they posted their shared statement or the joint statement that, it's been a tough year. And if you think about in Mauricio's chart, like Jupiter in Aries was opposing his Jupiter in Libra, so he was going through his like Jupiter opposition. So I can definitely see that tension in his chart, even, from a very mundane perspective, right? Like relationship perfection versus self-assertion. I think it's the same for both of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I could see that.
I know, as a Cancer man too, family's so important. I mean,
One of the good ones.
one of the good ones. I know. I'm like, God, Mauricio, please carry the flag. Like, wave it really, really hard. Like, I cannot have any sort of negative shit on Mauricio. But yeah, the rumor mill is like kind of really crazy out there. So not saying, we want to like feed into any of the rumors, but I will say that it is very interesting that Kyle does have Mercury in Aquarius on her descendant. And to me, what natally that would indicate is the people that are going to be the most transformative, the people that are going to really help you in your evolution, curate more balance, help you find your authenticity, are going to be the Aquarian types, are going to be people that are not necessarily like the cookie cutters, not the basic bitches of the world. Like it is going to be a very unique type of flavor that people might not understand, right? So it is interesting. You do see some of this elements play out right now as well.
Yeah, great point. Wow, how have I never noticed that Mercury just sitting right on the
It's a
descendant?
pretty prominent placement. Like for anyone who's listening to, if you have a planet sitting on like your ascendant, descendant, IC, or midheaven, those are the angles of your chart. They take on so much importance, like deeply, deeply significant. And if you think about the, where Mercury rules over in Kyle's chart. Her second house of self-worth and confidence and material resources. And also her 11th house of her hopes and dreams and future and the people she surrounds herself with. So again, it's much better for her to surround herself with these sort of interesting types that allow her to expand her understanding, her existing understanding of the world. So yeah, I mean, all to say is divorces can be difficult, separation can be perceived as difficult. And I think as a collective, we mourn instability, right? We don't like when things hurt. We don't like people to feel sad. But in reality, I do think this is a really beautiful moment for the both of them to more formally come into what they both want, Mauricio and Kyle, for themselves.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. And just to go back to your point about the angles, if you look at your chart and you see you have a planet on either the ascendant or descendant, it is likely that you were born on one of those planetary lines in your astrocartography. So if you're interested in astrology, you might want to check that out too.
Yes, Emma is an astrocartographer. So, you know, if you are just wondering about where to make that next big move, she is your gal. Book a reading. Yes.
Yes. All right. But let's get into our one episode for the week.
The one thing this week.
How are you enjoying the Montana trip?
I am finding it very entertaining. It's just, you know, again, we talked about this a lot. It just feels like a revisiting of old, amazing, petty bullshit housewives, low stakes. But Tamara is a consistent, right? So you like understand the dynamics here and you're like, God, Tamara's back at it again, pulling shit, being a, you know, like I'm at the, in my binge, I'm like at the point where Shannon discovers that Tamara has been talking shit about her to Kelly. And like, to watch this now, see this unfold, it's just like, God, like things just really don't change, do they?
Yeah, it's funny because I liked Tamara, but I did not need Tamara back. So it is interesting and a little like, I totally agree with you. I love that we're getting the old OC vibes. And part of that probably is because Tamara's there. But I'm just like, her lying or like misremembering or, you know, her stirring the pot, which she's openly admitted at this point to like doing.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it being so blatant. Like, if you're going to do it, try to be conspicuous about it, you know?
Yeah, you would think with her Neptune and Mars in Scorpio, she'd be like a little more adept at the covert, right? Like, just because, you know, Scorpio really is kind of like, you know, you have like the stereotype of puppet master behind the scenes, pulling the strings. And in this case, like, she's kind of out in the open, really pulling those strings. So it makes you wonder if she has like maybe even like a fire rising, you know, just because it's like so bold and so confident and so out there. That quote from Emily was actually so funny. Like her confessional where she's like, Tamara, you know, she's not only gonna like throw you under the bus, she's gonna like back up the bus over you, run you over, burn the bus, no remain, like all that stuff. It was so amazing. And I thought so emblematic of this Neptune and Mars in Scorpio, where it's like, it's not enough to just throw you under the bus. She will go 10x with it, really, if you let her. And I think it's really funny.
I feel bad for Shannon because I've had friends like this where they're actually horrible people, but you have so much fun with them. And I'm not saying, I don't really think that Tamara's a horrible person. I don't mean it in that way, but I just mean like not a good friend to you, right? Like they're not being a good friend to you, but you have so much fun that you're just like, fuck it. Like I know what I'm getting with you and let me just do this. But she's not going to know until the end of this, the like, that's what's happening. Whereas, yeah, I don't know. It's just hard. I think she knows that though. Even in the confessional, she said like, oh no, was it Heather? It was Heather. Heather who was saying like, I want to believe her, but I know that I might see otherwise.
Yeah. I'm
so they're like being cautiously optimistic and that they're going to be let down once they see that Tamara has been just being Tamara all along.
Tamara being Tamara. I would find it very difficult to be friends with someone like that, just because I would just be like, I can't trust I can't trust you with anything I'm saying, right? Because you're going to use it against me, or you're going to like superimpose your hurt and what you feel like the narrative is. And then that's the narrative you're going to put out. Like that to me is what Tamra does based on her placements. It's not coming from a deliberately malicious place. It's coming from a place where when someone tells her something, it stokes like a weird fear in her. And she wants to just control that narrative, but it's like a projecting as well. But it's because she has her Jupiter in Leo and potentially her moon and her Leo moon, it's so self-oriented, right? It's so much about how I'm feeling, my ego. And in a weird way, it's not that dissimilar to how, Gina's handling this whole situation with Jennifer too, right? We've talked about it before. It's like the Venus and Saturn opposition in her chart and her Libra moon. I mean, like, yeah, social etiquette breaking and like her projecting. But to Heather's point, she needs to really deal with it. She can't like Jean for Gina. She has to actually sit and process and deal and not project or like not have such an outsized reaction. Not because you're not allowed to have outsized reactions, but because they're indications of hurt that still hasn't been addressed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hold on. I want to pull up Heather and Gina. Gene. Just because that point about like you can't do this to Travis, like that's really what was interesting to me. And I completely agree with her. Oh, Heather's sun's conjunct Gina's Jupiter.
Yeah.
Capricorn. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's like tough love, hard advice, but like there's also a respect between the two of them. Like a Jupiter Sun synastry is like really lovely. Fun fact, Kyle and Mauricio, I think, have Jupiter Moon synastry, which is also really, really beautiful. But yeah, that was a really lovely moment, like a really honest and raw moment with Heather and Gina. I'm just not. It's very interesting. Like, I wonder if Heather is like trying desperately to be Gina's friend, like based on like the 5 weeks ago, like, oh,
Yes.
why aren't you my friend? Or like, I thought we were closer than this and things like that. And I feel like, oh, maybe this is a moment that Heather can step in and like really like solidify the friendship
Oh,
meaningfully.
interesting, interesting. I also think it's interesting that they do seem to communicate well when they're talking, but when they're thinking and apart from each other, they seem to be on, I'm not going to say different pages, but not as happy or secure in where they are. And when we look at their Mercuries, they're squaring. Heather's in Aquarius, very logical, a little detached. Gina's in Aries, very passionate, very fiery. So I thought it was funny when Gina was like, is she even a New Yorker?
Yeah, and it's also an out of sign square, right? Because that Mercury in Aquarius would naturally square Mercury in Taurus, but like Gina has a late degree Aries. So you have that, not to say dysfunction, but you have maybe that added layer of miscommunication, just given that out of signness as well, inherently baked into the square. Just doubling down and really emphasizing your point there, really.
I do think I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see Gina's evolution here, because when have you seen her like go through her whole divorce process yet, or not quite?
She just slept with Matt again. So,
Okay, so she really has an arc, an evolution. Although, as Heather called out, maybe it hasn't concluded in the way that she has put out there that it has come to a conclusion. But I think that especially with Gina's like that Mercury in Aries, a little stubborn, she's not open necessarily to seeing things she needs to see and addressing them. But then when she opens up and she's like, okay, then she'll tackle it. Because when she did start that journey with reprimanding Matt for his behavior, I won't go into specifics as so as to ruin things for you, but listeners will know what I'm talking about. But she stepped up to the plate and did what,
She needed to do. Yeah.
right.
I mean, it's very interesting because obviously I know nothing about what happens to Gina, because I've stayed away from the OC, like feeds for quite a bit before the binge. But what I find really striking about her chart is just all the inherent oppositions baked in. You can tell this is like a very like this is a person consistently being pulled in two directions at all time, and that tension inside must be like really like the growth is in the incorporation of those elements, right? Like she's just trying to come balance everything together, but in the interim it can feel like everything's like pulling at you from different sides. I think it's interesting. The one opposition that, I mean, there's so many fascinating oppositions, honestly. And obviously, the Saturn and Venus one is so prominent. But I think also the Neptune Juno opposition is so indicative of also why she just, both of those, why she can't let go, you know, and why she feels that wound. I mean, Juno and Cancer, you know, like the family, and again, like someone that provides that family for you. And then opposing Neptune, the delusion, you have Neptune and Juno together, delusion around your partnership, and again clinging on to a fairy tale around family, right? Like, and there's just so much grieving and loss in that, because that's so much a part of your identity, family. So yeah.
Also with that Chiron in Gemini, like the fear of this affecting your children, especially when Sienna started having sensory issues, and like that
Yeah.
fear of having that effect and that pain be projected onto your child. Also, like you're speaking about all those oppositions, and a good portion of them are in fixed signs, like kind of making it even harder to let. She has a lot of fixed energy. So it's like letting go isn't easy to her, kind of going back to that, not necessarily wanting to like see things, but once you see it, you know, with that Aries, that cardinal energy, she'll like, you know, tackle it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I mean, I do feel badly for her. I see her struggle, I feel her pain. The other
I
person
feel worse for Gen P.
I was gonna say, like, they're so mean to Gen P. What the fuck? I like
I don't know. Also, why I don't even know her last name. I just know her as Gen
Jenny
P.
Padranti. I feel like I mispronounce it all the time, but like, I'm just like, lay off this cancer. Please, please lay off the cancer. And she has like the bluest eye. So I wonder she's a cancer rising with the Pisces in the 10th house, you know, because there's no other Pisces or water in her chart except for the Mercury in Cancer. And her Uranus and Scorpio. So just an interesting like food for thought. But I mean, I think it's really fucked up what Tamra is doing. Here's the thing. Tamra has just manipulated the whole situation. She saw an opportunity because she understands there might be dirt on Jennifer and like brought her on the show as her friend and now throwing her out there to die. Like, excuse me. This is not a friend. This is an enemy.
No, total mean girl, as you said, throw them to the wolf vibes. And yeah, Jen has like a lot of Gemini and Cancer energy. Like, again, the mother, the children, like, she's not trying to tear apart her family. Like, things happen, you know, and like circumstances happen. You fall out of love with people, you fall into love with other people. Should she have ended her relationship? But who was it that was like, you wouldn't have left your husband if you weren't being sexually active? And like, I disagree with that completely. Now, I'm not saying what she did or didn't do, but just knowing that you have this emotional connection with someone else to me says, yes, I should walk away from that person. Because if I'm feeling this for someone else and I'm not feeling it for my partner, there's something wrong there. Like, I either need to work on strengthening that, or if I feel that I can't get it back, like, yes, I should leave. And that's the right thing to do. It's weird that no one else is seeing that side.
Oh, absolutely. And for me, like, if you have a Cancer sun and a Mercury in Cancer, and like, I really feel like there is so much, to your point, there's so much pull on family. You're not just going to uproot your family for no quote unquote good reason, right? Like, just plain and simple from that symbolism in of itself. I mean, it's so funny with the Gemini, I can kind of see where like people might like the words, maybe like she might not be consistent in the words she's using to describe the affair or the emotional affair or like the
Right.
timeline of it. And maybe people are poking holes for precision or whatever, because people are trying to be bitchy. But like, it's you see that symbolism still both. And I feel badly for her. Like maybe you said something wrong, or like you said something and someone just ran with it and took it, and all of a sudden their fear is now projecting on your like words, right? And I think that's like sometimes a Gemini, right? You say something because you don't necessarily hold the same weight and attachment to the words. It's very fleeting, it's very mutable. Then you come up against someone, maybe like a Tamra, you know, with her Neptune and
All that
Mars in
work.
Scorpio. And you know, yeah, it's so funny to me, right? Like Virgo is a mutable sign, but sometimes I'm like, it's a little less mutable than like I feel how, I don't know, how I would look at mutability. But I mean, I understand why it's mutable. It's not a sign I take to, you know, going with the flow very easily.
Right. It doesn't let shit slide.
Doesn't like
It might ex
change.
it I was gonna say it will accept change, but it doesn't let others like shit slide. But I don't have Virgo and you do, so you could speak way better to
I'm like, listen,
that
Venus and Virgo, the moment someone like some here's the thing, I know I can come up with another plan. I just don't want to have to deal with the shock of coming up with another plan after I perfectly planned everything and now all of a sudden it's just like completely wrong. So it's more that.
And I can relate to that because all my Gemini placements, as mutable as they are in the sixth house, which is like a Virgo associated house. And that thing with plans, especially as like when I was younger, if the plan changed, I was not happy about it. And I let everyone know.
Yeah, but it's not like you wouldn't go along with it.
Right.
You'd just be like, that was disrespectful to my time or whatever, right? Disrespectful to my efforts thus far in like putting this together. Now we have to switch it, and I'm sure
100%.
it's okay, but like it's so much that type of energy, which I like kind of love and hate all at once. I'm trying to get better, trying to get better, as we all are. I actually just noticed in Jen's chart, she has Pluto squaring her sun. Pluto and Libra squaring her sun, which kind of makes me feel like she will always naturally be surrounded by this kind of like, because Pluto can kind of symbolize the collective too in the chart, like an overwhelming, like domineering force in Libra, social construction, social standards. That squaring her Mercury, I mean, her sun in Cancer is really fascinating, I think. We don't know where it is in her chart, obviously, because you know we don't have her time, but just that placement in of itself. And I actually really liked what she said, and I think it's like an evolved representation of this aspect, if you will. Like she was talking to Gina, like, hey, you know, I've accepted my history and I've accepted what I needed to do, my journey to get here, and I don't. Your reaction is not my problem. And I think that is boom, healthy and direct and not enraged, right? She's speaking very calmly. She's speaking with a lot of authority and kind of someone that's like done the work. It is what it is. And I accept it. And, you know, I understand that maybe you're dealing with something. And like, I think Jennifer is actually handling the situation the best she can handle the situation.
100%. I think she's doing incredible.
Yeah. Justice for Jen,
Yeah,
honestly.
justice for Jen.
And
She also had Chiron and Taurus. So, like, instability is not something she's looking for. And she also has Mars in Taurus, which is sextiling her Mercury in Cancer. So, like, she's really not trying to shake things up, especially not in her family life. Like, this happened because it's what needed to happen. And as you like, she does seem super evolved.
It's a very interesting chart like that, and I'm excited to get to know her more to see like how other elements in the chart play out.
Yes.
I think that was also really vulnerable of her to be like, yeah, like I trust that he's faithful to me, but we know when comments like these arise, does it make me wonder? Like, and I think that's the vulnerability maybe that the other women are looking for, right? Like they're not looking for you to be like, we're all good. It's like, okay, no, I get it, I get your concerns, but and these are concerns I have too, but at the end of the day, if you don't give people a chance, maybe they can change, maybe they can't. And at the there is no bad or wrong experience. Everything is just an experience, right? Like everything is a lesson, everything is meant to be learned from. So, you know, there's no judgment on who's doing it better or worse, or who made the right affair, or like how to have an affair the right way, or what have you.
Yeah.
All of that. All of that. One last thing I'll say, because we have been talking about the Aries Libra nodes for like most of this conversation. I feel like this is like a special pod, Aries Libra, like conversation featuring Kyle Mauricio and like everyone else. But I noticed with the few OC housewives that they also all have like Jennifer has her south node in Aries, north node in Libra. So she's going through her nodal opposition. And then Tamra's going through her nodal return with these nodes switching in. And Tamra actually is about to, Tamra's nodes are at 29 degrees. So it's literally getting like hit and activated right now. And it is just making me wonder. It's actually very interesting because obviously on the show we see like cut closing and whatnot, and Venus and her Venus in Virgo rules over the south node in Libra. So I can definitely see like, oh yeah, like an end of an era, an end of a health era in whatever capacity. But I'm just curious about what else might be coming up for Tamra and for Jen, just because again, their nodes happen to be in Aries and Libra.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned
Oh.
to find out.
Yeah, stay tuned and find out. And you know, we're not rooting again for anything to happen, but if you happen to like hear something, because we're not necessarily logged in 24/7, you know, like, hey, is there anything going on in this person's chart because of XYZ? Let us know. We love a good investigation type of situation, kind of like the one we stumbled in with the Kyle situation. So yeah.
Yes, when you see something, say something so that we can cover
Yes, see something, say something.
it.
I fucking love that. Yeah, chat is on Threads. I mean, lol. I'm like literally learning how to use it. It's so awkward. I feel like I'm back in high school again. Just so weird.
Yes, you can chat with Tasha on Threads.
Actually, but you know what's really funny? I like obviously pulled up the Twitter chart just to see like if anything was hitting, and fucking hell. The Mercury Chiron square that we like all were experiencing yesterday was actually hitting the Twitter natal charts IC and Midheaven in, you know, Mercury in Cancer, right? So like it's so fascinating because you're like, wow, you're really kind of getting you're really kind of like getting rocked, you know what I mean? Like emotionally, like, oh, this was like my thing, this is like the only thing, and now all of a sudden someone's come in and like provided competition. Like Aries is so much about competitiveness and feeling if you're like worthy of the competition. So you know, definitely hitting Twitter heart home.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Also with like Mercury and Cancer, like ways of communicating with like your chosen family, like your community.
Yes. Oh, so much symbolism there. The Twitter chart's actually very amazing. Like a lot of things were getting activated when Elon took over Twitter. Like it's a whole damn thing. But anyway, if you're interested, you should definitely check that out. You know what's so funny? I have my Mercury in my 10th house, and I've never realized truly how much I do like communicating like this. So here we go. It is what it is.
Yeah. Like I'm just thrilled that you enjoy it.
Oh, thanks. But yes, if you're listening, definitely hit follow at the Cosmic Clubhouse on Instagram, and I guess on Threads now, just to stay tuned with any recent pop culture Bravo Astro update.
And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and go ahead and rate and review. It means a lot to us.
Yes! Until next week, until next scandal, until next Astro event. See you next time.
Bye.